Hey, welcome to an all-new episode of the DeviantArt Podcast. I'm Gigi Matt B, Matt Buchholz, and today we are live from, in case the echo didn't tip you off, DeviantArt HQ, where I'm the only person on this entire floor. It's real quiet. Anyway, we've got an amazing illustrator today, a great special guest. They're currently a storyboard artist for Disney television animation on Big City Greens, and odds are you've seen their Team Rocket and Pokemon fan art on your social media feeds. So without further ado, I'm going to connect us to Kiana Conn-Smith.
Hi, I'm Kiana. I go by Kiana My Art pretty much everywhere, and I work for Disney Television Animation as a board artist on Big City Greens. And I really like Team Rocket and Pokemon, and that's about it.
See, I love that you're like, I love Team Rocket and Pokemon, but you love them with such like a fervor that like I wish I had a passion so much. Like your love for that they're fandom just like pours out everywhere.
They're just such good characters. Like I've loved them since I was like when I first started watching the anime pretty much. Like I immediately like latched onto them. They're just perfect.
One of the things I want you to touch on real quick before we get into your history with art, because I love this when we talked earlier. Tell everyone about how you got into Pokemon, because I love that story about like your first Pokemon game.
So when I was younger, me and my brother weren't allowed to play Pokemon, watch Pokemon, get the cards, anything, just because my parents didn't really like it. But one day, I think I had to be like 9 to 12, I can't remember the exact year, but we were at a football game and my brother found a copy of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl on the ground, just like in the bleachers. And he picked it up and we're like, oh my God, it's a Pokemon game. And then we like begged our parents to like, let us keep it. And they're like, it was free. Like, please just let us have this. And they're like, fine, okay, like you could keep this game, but that's it. And that was like their first mistake because it just went all downhill from there. We were like, we need more Pokemon. So that's like what kicked it off and like what got me wanting to watch the show. And then I also started getting Pokemon cards, which also had like kind of a part in me wanting to do art. Like I just love looking at the illustrations of Pokemon cards a bunch. Yeah, Pokemon was a huge, huge influence on my art and my art style. Love it with all my heart.
I love that story so much because I come from a family too where they were like, video games are gonna like eat up all your time, blah blah blah, don't get into that. And then I was like, I went to a garage sale and I found like a $1 like Nintendo, and I was like, I'm in. I've locked it.
Oh my gosh, $1, what a steal.
It was broken, but all it needed was to be like cleaned.
Oh, that's so God, I wish I got a Nintendo for $1. I guess I got Pokemon Diamond and Pearl for free. So
exactly. I think you came out on top. So now in like 5 minutes, let's go over kind of your journey from when you started art to now. Because you have a pretty great and like incredible history with going from a fandom to where you're at now at Disney.
So I've been drawing like ever since I was little. Like I just like always had a knack for it, like always wanted to just draw stuff and doodle stuff. It really helped that my parents are both quite artistic, so they would always like draw with me and stuff when I was little and like really encouraged me to do that. So when I was in high school, when it came time to apply for colleges and everything, like I pretty much only applied to art schools. Like despite doing really well in school and like assuming that I would probably make money in like those careers, I like knew that my passion was in art. So I decided to just like fully go for it. And just like, I just had that passion for it. Like I don't think I would have had for any other job. So I applied to CCA, Otis, and CalArts. I got rejected from CalArts here, but I got accepted into Otis and CCA. I had to decide between the two, and I ended up picking CCA because it was up in Northern California, like Oakland, San Francisco area. And like I had grown up there for a little bit, like when I wasn't in Hawaii. And it was also pretty much right down the street from Pixar, which was really cool. And Pixar is like a very large part of why I was inspired to go into animation in the first place. So I was like, yes, this is the school for me. This is perfect. So I went there. I had a focus kind of more in character design and viz dev for a little bit. Like that was my first passion. But at CTN one year, I think it was either my sophomore or junior year, I went up to a character designer and he gave me a portfolio review. And he liked what he saw, like as far as like character design and viz dev, but he like saw something in my sketches and like the like really small board sample that I had in there and was like, hey, like your character design stuff is great, but like you should try your hand at storyboarding. Like you're like, there's something there. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. So like the next semester I started like applying more to storyboarding classes and like story focused classes. And like, I just had a ball. Like it wasn't something I had dabbled in much outside of like doing like my own like comics and kind of stuff, like more like sequential art, but not necessarily storyboarding. So getting into that was really cool. And just like finding that I kind of had a natural knack for that as opposed to design more so. But yeah, that was pretty much my journey into like figuring out what I wanted to do. And then okay, what were you gonna say?
No, I was just enjoying this. Like, it's so cool that someone spotted that like little kernel of something in you and was like, what if?
Super set me on the right track. I'm very grateful to them.
That's amazing. And from there, like you were able to take that storyboarding and actually pivot that into what you're doing now for your career.
Yeah. Which it was crazy. It was my junior year still, beginning of 2017, I believe. I got a storyboard test from Cartoon Network, which was really cool. I got reached out to by someone representing Daniel Chong for We Bare Bears. And that was my first ever experience, like getting a test and like getting an email from like a huge like animation company. So I was like stoked. And I like did that test so fast. And it was really, really fun. It was a good learning experience. But like seeing how I'm not on We Bare Bears or never worked on We Bare Bears, you know how that ended up. But it was still such a cool experience. And like I got to see like what television animation was looking for, because my background was more in storyboarding for feature, having Pixar teachers. And then I was in the Pixar Summer Story Intensive program in 2017, which was like kind of, which was after I got this test, I believe. My timeline is a little messed up. But yeah, it was like, I got that test. I was kind of down on myself a little bit, but you got to know that with like tests like that, it's not necessarily about your skill so much. Because they reached out to you because you have the skills. The reason that you don't necessarily get the job is just because you don't fit the show, maybe. Like, your writing style might be a little different. Your drawing style might be different, than what they're looking for. So, like, once I, like, told myself that and, like, heard that that's kind of, like, it's a common thing to happen, I was, like, more okay with that. But yeah, after that, this was later in my junior year, like the summer of 2017. I got accepted into Pixar's Summer Story Intensive program, which was also a really cool experience. I got to work with so many cool people, got to go to Pixar and like pitch to Pixar recruiters, which was awesome.
And how is that campus?
Oh my god, it's gorgeous. Have you been at all? Oh my god. Oh, it's beautiful. That was my second time going there. I went when I was like in eighth grade because one of our family friends worked there. And before we moved back to Hawaii, he was like, hey, you guys should come check out the campus. Like, I know Kiana's like into art. Like, I'm sure she would love to see this. And I did. Like, oh my gosh, I was so inspired coming out of that. And like, that is definitely kind of what kicked off me wanting to go into animation specifically rather than like just art. I got to do that story intensive program in 2017. realized that maybe feature wasn't for me right now, just because it was more serious, like a little slower pace, than what I was kind of looking for. Like, I just wanted to do like really goofy, fast, like silly stuff, which was kind of what I was used to in terms of like all the fan art I was posting at the time, just like quick, like quips and like just silliness. So it helped me realize like maybe I should go for TV animation. That seems more my speed. So when I started classes up again, all of the stuff I was doing was geared a little bit more towards just being goofy. Had to fight with my teachers a little bit on that, because they were like, no, it needs to be serious and like needs to make people cry and like has to come from like within. And I'm like, it doesn't really, like it can, but like not to that degree, not like for what I want to do anyway. Yeah.
So I'd like to touch on that real quick. When do you think it's appropriate to like kind of push back on how you see your art, especially when working like with teachers or with clients even, to make sure that they're getting something good and that you're doing something good for yourself?
Right. It's really tricky. It was very hard in school because I'm very much a tryhard in school and I wanted like good grades. And it was really hard for me to like stand up to teachers of being like, this is like what I want to do. I knew it was appropriate to do, just because I had been talking to a bunch of people on Twitter at the time, and like my like friends that were working at like Cartoon Network and like Disney TVA, Nickelodeon, and like getting feedback on like the boards I was currently doing, and like it was all stuff I was like aware of, like flatten your shots, like these are a little too cinematic for like what TV is, like a little too serious, like TV is a little more like comedy driven. So like in my heart, like I knew like this is like what I want in my portfolio at the end of the day, and this is what I should be shooting for. And like my teachers have been telling me all this time to cater my portfolio to the job that I want to do, which really kind of helped my argument when I was trying to tell them that I didn't necessarily want to do feature kind of boards. So a lot of them like ended up letting me kind of do what I want. Like we found a compromise, like there would always be like some heart at the end and it like would connect to my life in some way or another. But I got to throw in just like more silly kind of stuff. And after that, oh my gosh, it was September or October 2017. I got hit up by Disney TVA, Chris and Shane Houghton specifically, because they saw my artwork on Twitter. And it was during the Drawing While Black hashtag that was going around 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in that hashtag, I mentioned like, I want to be a storyboard artist. Like, this is like what I want to do. And I can't remember if I mentioned if I wanted to go into TV or not. I might've just said storyboard artist, but they saw that and reached out to me because they were like, hey, we really like your art. We like how you draw, which is really weird because I was like, I was only posting like Team Rocket art at the time. And it very much does not match like what Big City Greens is. So I was like, I guess, sure. So they reached out to me and sent me a test, because they wanted to make sure that I could write, and because it was a board driven show, meaning that the board artists are largely involved in writing and coming up with the dialogue for the show, pretty much. Like we essentially write the script.
That's the incredible. Script.
Yeah. So they had to like make sure that my sense of humor was like the same as theirs and like kind of match the show while also like bringing like my own sense of humor, of course. I did that test. They usually give you about a week to do tests. It was really hard because like we were gearing up for midterms at my school and I was like, I don't want to like slack on these grades. And like, if I don't get this test, I want to make sure like I'll be okay in school. But also like, this is like a once in a lifetime, like sort of opportunity right now. So I ended up just doing school all week and like cramming my test in one night, which was crazy. It was like 160 panels by the time I was done with it. I was like, this is so much. But I sent it in, and 2 days later they're like, hey, like we loved your test, like can you move down in 2 weeks? And I was like, Yes. So I had to drop out of school. I called my parents. I was like, yeah, I'm dropping out of school. Like, but don't worry, I got a job at Disney. And they're like, oh, cool, perfect. And like, they were
Yeah,
super supportive about it.
sins
And like,
forgiven.
yeah, exactly. So then they came, my dad came up from Hawaii to Oakland, where I was like, where my apartment was, and helped me pack up. And we drove down, and he helped me, like, all, with all the adulting stuff, like getting insurance and getting my car and figuring out how to get an apartment, and like helped me get settled in a little bit. And then I just started working that like next week. It was
That's
very crazy.
incredible, and I'm sure that I've seen the chat, like the hearts have been nonstop on this corner. They're just rolling, because like that journey is incredible.
Yeah, it was insane.
So speaking of the chat, I want to address them really quick. One thing that we are doing for this podcast, which is really great, is we're also giving away a Wacom One tablet, which can help people elevate their art, which is great. We're going to do a caption contest. There's a link in our bio that you can click to caption a piece of Kiana's art. And we're also announcing the caption contest winner from last week or 2 weeks ago when we had DJ Welch on. And that is going to be Hi, Ansynth Adopts, who captioned the piece with a poem made for the contest. That was
Wow.
embers for eyes and a heart full of gold. Legends are made, not born, I've been told. Which is a pretty crazy good caption for a piece
Yeah.
of art. So make sure to caption art. I don't want to like pull us too much out of the podcast, but make sure to caption that piece of art and potentially get a Wacom One, because that's a great tool to have as you get going. And also talking to chat, they have been going crazy about your art and about your Team Rocket fandom. And I just want to talk
Oh.
about fandom for a bit, because your fandom like
Yeah.
got you these eyes to get your career going. So
Oh,
you got
absolutely.
Pokemon, Team Rocket, Smash.
Yes. Yes.
Like your recent Smash piece is awesome, of Peach,
Thank
Daisy, and
you.
Rosalina.
Yeah,
Love it.
that was so crazy. I wasn't expecting to like start a movement. Well, like I don't want to like credit myself necessarily, but like because like it's not a new concept, but it was really cool seeing everybody like afterwards like bringing back their old like peach designs, like their person of color peaches and black people peaches and like all these princesses. It was really like encouraging to see, because like there are always like kind of hateful comments when that happens. So seeing like that solidarity like in the black community was like really cool and very special. And it's been just like such a delight, like going down my Twitter and like seeing everybody's art and everything. I was like, wow,
Yeah,
community.
and even like cosplay, like Curly Cosplay got in on it.
Oh my God,
Like,
so
or
pretty.
posted an old piece or whatever it was, but like
Yeah.
tagged in. Like, there was some good stuff around that, and that art is
Yeah.
awesome. And for those of you
Oh,
listening right
thanks.
now, you can find Kiana everywhere at Kiana Mai Art or at Kiana Mai here on Instagram. So,
Yes.
and on DeviantArt, make sure to check her out on DeviantArt, please.
Yeah. You can see all
But
my old My Little Pony stuff.
I did see some people saying that they started following you and found you because of My Little Pony.
Yeah, that was where I first started getting a following, because like I had an older DeviantArt where I was like Pokemon still, but then I kind of dropped it and wanted to try something new, and like My Little Pony had come out at the time, and I was like, I want in on that, because like I just thought the show was adorable, and like Lauren Faust at the time was like a huge like inspiration for me, like as an animator and as a storyteller, because I love like Powerpuff Girls and what was the other show? Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. So like her and Craig McCracken were like huge inspirations for me. So when like she had this new show, I was like, oh, I have to check it out. And it was really cute. Like it was so like cool seeing a show for little girls that was so like rich in storytelling and had like such strong female characters. And I was like, I want in on that. So I started like drawing a bunch of My Little Pony fan art at that time, and got super deep into the fandom, just because like the fandom for My Little Pony is huge, and it's very huge on DeviantArt as well. And I like it kind of still is, which is crazy. Like I'll go back and like see like my watch feed and just be like, wow, still kicking. That's incredible.
Yeah,
But yeah.
that's amazing. And I love seeing people are posting their fandoms as well beneath in the chat. Like, I'm not sure if you're watching it scroll, but it's crazy. People are just having a great time saying what they're fans of. So one thing that I want to touch on is, why do you think that fan art and being a fan of something is beneficial to your art, like even from like a portfolio sense? Like, what aspects do you think really like shine when you do fan art?
Yeah, that's always like been a debate in art, I feel like especially
Totally.
professionally, it's like never do fan art, like don't put fan art in your portfolio, like you should be professional and do like your own ideas. But like if you think about it, like at the end of the day, like if you're an animator especially, like what you're doing is basically glorified fan art. Like you're drawing like somebody else's idea and like seeing how you can plus it and how you can make it better and like kind of take it in your own direction while without like totally deviating from like what like the source material is necessarily. Because like there's so many ways to make fan art like your own. Like you can like I've seen so many people do like AUs where like they're imagining characters in different scenarios, but like at the core they're still like those characters. And like comics, like there's a huge community that just does like animatics of like shows already and like animates to
That
like music and
community
stuff.
blows me away.
They're
Like, what
insane. It's
they turn
crazy. Like,
stuff
where do
out
you
in
have
like,
the
and they do it in like 3 days sometimes, and I'm like, this
Yeah.
just came out and you've got like a full animatic. Like, I
Yeah,
don't.
it's crazy. I do not understand. I could never. But yeah, I just think there's like so many ways to like make it your own still. And like what's great about fan art and like getting exposure from it is like the fact that there's already community around it and people are like searching for it. And like that's not to discourage people from doing like original art. Like you should always do like stuff that like comes from your own brain and like explore your own ideas. But like I don't know, there's just something about fandom. Like it just brings everybody together. Like when I'm like looking for art, like I'm always like, Team Rocket, like did anybody post like new Team Rocket art today? Like it's something I'm like actively seeking out because it's not like original art isn't usually something like actively look for a lot of the time. It just kind of like happens upon you for the most part. But fan art, like it's something like you could find in like tags and like go to certain like specific blogs or specific pages that will like reblog like exclusively like Pokemon fan art or like She-Ra fan art or like anything like that. And yeah, I just think it's like it's not like you shouldn't be ashamed of doing fan art like just like despite what some like professors might say, especially if you're going into animation, especially if you're going into TV animation. Like that's how a lot of artists are found and hired, like pretty much from fan art. Like I know there's been several people in like on the Steven Universe crew that have been hired because they were fans of the show and did fan art. And the crew just saw something that they liked. They're like, hey, we should try to get this person. They're like clearly passionate about like the show and like their art is good. So like why not reach out to them? So there's just like there's a lot of ways like being in a fandom and doing fan art can like help your career, I would say.
Yeah, I think too that there's just an authenticity and like an excitement that comes when I draw fan art or when I see other people draw fan art where like you love it. Like there's this like world that you like relate to and you want to be a part of, and there's such a passion behind a lot of fan art that shows your art in like a really great light. Like again, draw your original stuff because you're gonna have the same stuff for that too. But like sometimes if you're only doing work stuff or like crunch stuff, it doesn't have that same soul and that same like vibrancy and expressiveness that you get in some fan art.
I just like I also really enjoy it because I'm the kind of person that likes just like taking in like established kind of world and like seeing the areas like not necessarily that I would want to like fix, but like just imagine like, oh, what if they did this at some point? Like something that like might not ever happen in the show or the source material and be like, oh, well, what if though? And like kind of expand on that. And I think that's something really cool that you could do with fan art. And like, that's pretty much what like being a sport artist kind of is. Like we're writing the show, we're looking at the outline, we're like figuring things out, like what's working, what's not working, how can we make this better? And like, that just like really helped. Like it was a very natural progression from like the kind of fan art I was doing and like the kind of comics and like fan art I was doing, and just being like, oh, I just need to apply it to the show that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Just like get really into the characters and be like, oh, what if these characters did this? Like, well, what if they were in this scenario? And just kind of going off of that and like injecting your own like sense of humor in there is also like really fun.
Yeah. So one thing before we get into the Q&A, which again, people listening, leave some questions below. We've got producer tracking the questions. Also, like a record number of you left questions on our IG story. So thank you for that. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Like so many people. We've got some great questions. yeah, but before we get into that, and this kind of ties some of the questions we got together, one of the things is once you talked a little bit earlier about how you had originally started looking into animation and were looking at feature, and then you found that TV was a better fit. What are some ways that people who are looking for an art career might be able to kind of decide what path of art they want to go down? And what are some options that they might be able to find?
Yeah, there are art and like art careers, and especially animation, is so big. It's so much bigger than I think people realize. Like so many of the jobs are like divvied up, especially if you're at like a larger studio. Like a lot of people tend to think like, oh, character design, you're coming up with like all the characters, you're like creating them from scratch, you're like coloring them, you're figuring out all the color palettes and everything. But like that's not true at all. It's actually very like divided up. Like for on our crew, for example, we have our writers who do like the outlines and the scripts, and then we have the board artists who also like do the scripts or are just like just boarding, of course. And then we have the storyboard revisionists who usually help clean up the storyboards. And then we have the layout artists who are drawing all the backgrounds. And then we have the background painters who paint those backgrounds. We have the character designers who like who sketch out the characters and kind of come up with like the first passes for them. But then we also need the cleanup artists for those who will do like the final line for those character designs. And then we have the colorists who color all the props. Like that's another job, prop designers. Who color all the props and the characters, and directors, storyboard supervisors, editors, like timers. There's so many jobs in animation. Like it's like there is something for you in animation. And finding that path is really hard, just because like sometimes I feel like you want to do it all. That was kind of like how I felt initially. But I find that when you're looking for a job, it's very beneficial to kind of have one set path. And then like maybe eventually like you'll kind of grow into something else. But yeah, when people are looking for artists, they're usually looking for somebody who can do one job specifically really, really well. So having that focus, I think, is really important. I know it's kind of hard. Like I struggled with that, like deciding whether I wanted to go character designer, storyboarding. But yeah, like I just kind of followed my gut on that one. Just like I looked back on like my body of work, and like while I did enjoy character design, it wasn't necessarily like the strongest at the time. But on the other hand, like my comics, I felt like were very strong, and like I had a strong sense of like writing dialogue and like writing scripts out. Like I'm sure a lot of the people that followed me on when like my My Little Pony stuff, like I would always like draw a picture and just like have like a huge like thing of dialogue under my pieces, just like kind of writing out the scenario. And I was like looking at that, I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is something like I could do, like more of like the writing aspect. And then the comics part like melded with that. It's just like, that's just storyboarding. And I was like, I like really enjoy that, so maybe I should do that more focus on that more than like character design. So it is hard to find that track sometimes, but it's super beneficial and it's nice to be able to focus on one thing. And you never know what happens after, because I mean, even though I am doing storyboarding, my showrunners recently, they reached out to me and were like, hey, like, we know you've like had an interest in character design, want to do character design for an episode? I was like, yes. So I still got to do character designs, and I got reached out to by DreamWorks recently to do character design. So I'm still like doing it. It just comes at different times, and like since I already had my foot in the door, like people already had eyes on me and were like, oh, this person can like do a little bit of everything. But like having that focus on storyboarding is what helped me get in the first place.
What would you think for storyboarding? What are three just like traits that would make a good storyboard artist? And we'll do this for a couple of the different jobs. So if someone's like, I fit these three things, they might know that storyboarding is for them.
It's different for like feature and television, which I mentioned.
Sure,
before,
let's split them up. So for feature,
like a strong sense of like cinematography, like if you like are watching movies and like you're just like, wow, that's like a gorgeous shot. Like if you have like an eye for that kind of thing, that's probably a good sign that you'd like to go into storyboarding. And like if you draw like really fast and can do like really gestural kind of drawings and like not necessarily like finished pieces, like that's also a good indicator that you'd be good at storyboarding. For television animation, like if you can draw like clean and fast, but like still not like finished necessarily, like that's a good sign for TV. If you have like more of a focus in comedy and you like just doing like silly stuff and like making funny jokes, like again, that's like something that's really important in television animation, I find, just because largely like a huge part of it is comedy. But like there's a bunch of different types of television, but that's largely part of it. And like you're drawing more simplified, like that's also something people are looking for in storyboard artists. Strong sense of writing, strong sense of posing is a huge one, and like acting and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think those are all like really good traits to have as a board artist.
Great. Okay, so let's dig into this Q&A because we've got so many questions. And I want to make sure that we hit as many as we can before we run out of time. Yes. So this one I love is from Sandwich Thief. And they say, can you prepare for the animation industry even when you're in high school? If so, how?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I pretty much was, because like I mentioned, I like went to Pixar like when I was in 8th grade, and like at that point I was like, this, like I want to go into animation. And like immediately after that, like started doing more, like, because at the time I was doing a lot more like realistic kind of drawings. Like I was just doing like art in like the general like broad kind of scale, but once I figured out like, oh, animation is what I want to go into, I started doing like more cartoony stuff and stuff that like kind of like I was seeing in like Pixar art books, and starting to like get an eye for that kind of art. High school isn't too early. Like really just like keep watching cartoons and like pay attention to what like the current style of like what TV is, like what it looks like and like where you think it might go. Like being able to draw in different styles is very valuable skill to have for television especially. So highly recommend like doing like style challenges. Like I love doing those. Like
those are so fun.
Yeah, like draw yourself in Steven Universe style or draw yourself in Gravity Falls style. Like it also really helps for like design as well. Like being able to do that and be able to emulate styles is like really important, because Animation jobs aren't permanent. So, like, when a show is done, like, you're pretty much let go and you have to find like a different show to hop onto. It's a very fickle industry. But yeah, as a high schooler, like, really just try figuring out like what your strengths are in art, and then like as you do, like figure out like, oh, maybe I want to try storyboarding, maybe I want to go to character design, maybe I'm good at backgrounds and props. Yeah, it's never too early to kind of start thinking about that stuff and like observing that kind of stuff like in current cartoons or current movies, and seeing how they go about things. And then if you eventually go to college, like they'll go into that deeper, and like if not, like there's a lot of like knowledge to be to like to find. You can find a lot of like tips and everything just from watching other artists like in the industry that you want to be in. But yeah.
Great. Yeah. So this one is a little personal, but now that they've
Okay.
got you on the line, they can ask
Yes.
whatever they want. They want to know how your art setup is, like where you work. Is it minimal or full of decorations from a Scena junkyard?
Oh, literally, it's so bad. Like, I just draw on my bed. Like, currently, like, it's so bad. Like, it's literally on my laptop, and then I have my Intuos, like, little tiny drawing tablet and just draw there. I've always drawn, like, lying down. I don't know why. It's probably not great for me, but like, it's just, I don't know, I just draw better that way. I've always had a hard time just like sitting at a desk. Like, I'm so like fidgety. Like, I need to have like the space to like roam and like just like, I don't know, be comfortable. I have a hard time getting comfortable. So yeah, very minimal.
Okay. So nothing underscore art 18 says, if you weren't an illustrator animator, what would you be?
God, I'm like so deep into it now that
What
I have to
what's
imagine
your
doing anything
AU?
else.
Yeah, what's the
Yeah,
Kiana
right.
AU?
I when I was in high school, I had a huge interest in biology. Like that was probably my favorite subject outside of art. Like I really, which is really weird because I feel like artists tend to like history or English and like literature a little bit more, but like I hated both of those subjects. I was more of like a math and science kind of person. Like I love doing trigonometry, which is like really weird, but yeah, like geometry was like so like my thing. Like it's just like, oh yes, I love finding the angle of this triangle. But biology specifically was like kind of what I was more interested in. I don't know if, like what specific field of biology I would have gone into, but I did like enjoy doing like labs, and I enjoyed learning about like human anatomy, and like that stuff is just like so fascinating to me. I did like I did bio for freshman year, and then I was also in IB. Anybody was in IB, so I had it for 2 more years for my junior and senior year. So yeah, I did a lot of labs, and in Hawaii, UH has a really good like doctorate program. So I like we got to go to like the UH campus and go to like the cadavers, and like that was like so cool to me. Like I was like so into that. I was like, yo, this is crazy. But it was really cool, and like that kind of stuff interested me. But like I was just so like enamored with art that I just like, no, art is, I think art is where my passion actually is. But yeah, if it wasn't art, it would probably be some field in bio. Yeah.
Awesome.
And you
Okay,
being
so Artistic Cupcakes wants to know, when you started out on DeviantArt nearly 7 years ago, did you feel confident sharing your art online?
So I was a little like, I mean, yeah, I was a little more scared than I am now. Like now I just like post whatever the hell like I want to pretty much. Like even if it's not finished, I'm just like, yeah, here, look at it. But yeah, like when I first started, I was a lot more conscious about like what I was putting out. It was usually just kind of like my best stuff. If it like wasn't something that I really liked, I would kind of withhold it. a little more, but like I was posting a lot. Like I think like if you were following me for that long, you know that like I eventually just started posting pretty much everything and like would post even just like silly sketches after a certain point of time. But yeah, I've always been fairly confident in my drawing skills and didn't really like, I don't know, I wasn't like super attached to my drawings or like shy about sharing them as like some people are, which is like fair. Like sharing your art is very hard. I lucked out in that department in that like I don't really care. But I find that my writing is more what I'm self-conscious about. Like whenever I would do those like My Little Pony drawings with like the dialogue under, like I would fuss over like the description like way more than the drawing itself, just
Yeah.
because it's like, oh God, is this funny? Like I don't know if like this joke is gonna like fall flat. Like, oh, is this like, is this okay to say? Like kind of stuff like that. Or it's like, is this cringy? Like, that was more for me, like what was the harder part. Which is really funny because like that's kind of what I do for a job now. Like, here, sirs, like is this joke funny? Like, do you like this? Like, does this fit your show? But yeah, like as like I did it more, like obviously like I got more comfortable in like my writing style and like what I find funny and like people being like, oh, this is funny. I'm like, okay, cool. Like I'm glad people also like enjoy this.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna crunch in a few more as quick as we can, just so that we
Yeah.
get as through as many as we can, because we're getting close to the end.
Let's do it.
We've got what is your hardest slash least favorite thing to draw from Frandy Lonk?
Oh, probably, well, backgrounds is a huge one for me. I'm still working on that. And in general, just like very ornate stuff. Like when people do like clothes, like the Princess Peach and like Daisy Rosalina drawing I did is like my limit. Like the all the details on the dresses, like I hate this. Like I don't want to do this anymore. Like I was so over it. So like stuff like that.
Okay. Did you ever have any doubts working in animation? If so, how did you overcome it from ICATS 30?
Oh, I had a lot of doubt. Like in junior year, I almost like stopped doing animation altogether just because like I don't know, I was just going through a rut that year. Luckily it all kind of picked up after that. But yeah, I was kind of going through it. I was like, oh, my art's not good enough. Like I was getting rejected from internships and everything at the time. So yeah, that's like a huge thing. Like know that like every artist in animation has been rejected like a bunch at some point. It's
That's a
like you're
big
never
one.
gonna get it. Yeah, you're never gonna get your job the like on the first try, like for the most part. Yeah, I was like even like when I got my like animation job, like I was like super like I had a lot of imposter syndrome. Just
Oof.
because everybody around me was like so funny. Like my board partner was Caldwell Tanner. I don't know if everybody knows him, but he was artist on Drawfee. He worked for College Humor. He did like a lot of writing. He was my first board partner, and he's like hilarious. Like jokes on the spot, like always on. I was like, I can't keep up. Like, do I have to be like this? Like, is this like the standard? Like, oh my God, he's like amazing. But then I just realized, like, oh, like we just have different ways of like going about things. Like, he's more of like a improv kind of guy. Like coming up with jokes on the spot. And like for me, like I just found that like I can write really funny stuff. Like sometimes I just need to sit with it a little more. And like it works like at the end of the day, like as long as it's in the final board, like that's all that matters. So yeah, it's like it's hard not to be intimidated by like everybody else in the industry or like all the people that you're seeing like posting art online, but like everybody has their own like special thing that they have. And like if you get a job, like you're set, like you have that job for a reason and you should be secure in that.
Okay, and the final question, which kind of segues into a panel that Kiana's on for Lightbox that you gotta check out next week, on a panel with some
Yes.
amazing people. I'm just gonna go ahead and leak it. It's a panel with you, Lois van
Sweet.
Baarle, and Gabriel
Yeah.
Piccolo. So check
Woohoo.
that out because that is an
The
amazing
coolest.
panel of people talking about social media. But Bokitoki wants to know, do you ever feel pressured posting daily on social media?
I definitely used to, just like seeing how a lot of people were getting hired from social media at the time. Like obviously people like were getting jobs like the old fashioned way, but like I was starting to see it increase in people getting hired just from like Twitter and like Tumblr and everything. So I was like, oh, is this like what I have to do? Like, do I have to like be good, like just like constantly like be on social media? So like I started doing that, like posting pretty much daily. And I was feeling the pressure for sure. And like the thing is like it is rewarding, like the algorithm will reward you if you post regularly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm doing something good. Like I'm like getting more likes, I'm getting more retweets, I'm getting follows from like posting like all the time. But like it was at the expense of my mental health, and like I would burn out so easily when I was doing that, and like I wasn't putting out my best work. So definitely felt that pressure initially, but no, I just kind of like post whenever I want. And I guess it's like easy for me to say because like I do have like an established following now, but like looking back, I don't think it was worth it necessarily. Like I think I still would have ended up where I am now without like all that stress.
You gotta find that balance. And
yeah,
for further info, Bokitoki, I hope I pronounced that right. My producer removed the caption from my doc. You put up an amazing post on social media about social media for artists. Highly recommend mm-hmm. checking that out and checking out the yeah. panel for Lightbox. But that's about all the time we have today. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. Instagram cuts us off an hour hard, so I don't want to go past that. I don't want to lose everything. But thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to submit your caption. Check out the link in the bio so that you can potentially grab a Wacom One tablet to help with your art. And Kiana, thank you so much for joining us. It's always so awesome talking to you. Like, seriously, you're the best.
Oh, thank you for having me. Like, I love talking to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining, everyone. And goodbye.